We're coming down, getting close to the end of our Armor of God study. And as we get there, I'm going to put two things together today. We're going to talk about the sword of the word and praying always, because they're going to work together. So I decorated me a sword here, which we'll be talking about in a minute. And we're going to pray in a minute, but it's going to come in as part of the scripture. So on the sword of the Lord has two sides to it. It's all based on the word of God, but one side is the written word of God, and the other side is the spoken word of God. What he speaks to us through his spirit. So it's a two-sided sword of the word, and we're going to learn about that in a few minutes. So let's turn to Ephesians 6. If you'd read 10 through 20, that would be great.
Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak.
You know, it's all what God does or God does not do. And sometimes I feel kind of burdened because I feel like Paul. I feel like when God has given me a message, I'm in bonds to that message. I'm like a prisoner of that message. It's like I'm chained to it, and I can't think of anything else, you know? It's burning in me like a fire, and I want it to burn in you. And then sometimes when I see that eyes are not opening and somebody's not getting it, and I think it's not coming across. It must be me. I must not be doing it right or saying it. God must not be moving through me. Well, the other night, the Lord showed me a verse that said, that people don't have light because he didn't open their eyes and give them light yet. So, you know, God is going to do what we ask him to do according to his will. If we ask him nothing, he's going to do nothing. God works through prayer, and his Holy Spirit moves in us, telling us what to pray. There were some things he just told us to pray here. He said, praying always. That means you can't just pray once and then walk away. It's done, you know. 5 years from now, if I need God again, I'll let him know. With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. The prayers that have power are the ones that the Holy Spirit inside of us actually prays. He moves on us with what he's doing, and we speak it forth. But it is what he is saying and breathing and doing, and we're releasing the power of God to go forth. This praying in supplication and prayer, there's worship. There's communication involved in that. It's not always just standing up and praying a prayer. Worship is a prayer. When we're singing to God, those worship words are our prayer. They are prayer. They're communication. Petitions, requests. And he said, and then watching. Be alert. Be awake. See what's going on in the spirit realm with all perseverance. Continual, persistent, until it happens. and supplication for all saints. That's intercession, praying for someone else. We should be praying about what God wants to do here so he can do it.
Amen.
You know, we're going to talk about prayer, and it's going to come down to this two-sided sword, because the word, I mean, we could build a sword bigger than this room and put all scripture on it. So what is this sword when we're armed up to go to war? What word, written word of God, should be on that sword? The words that he's currently speaking to you for what he's currently wanting to do. Because you have to hold this. It's part of your armor to block the blows, and it's part of your armor to attack the enemy. And what we attack with is what God has said. What we're standing on is what God has said through his written word, through his revealed word. So we need to know, what is his word for Burning Bush right now? What is his word for us as a body right now? You can't hold on to it if you're full of doubt.
Right.
So we're going to talk about it. I made you some little mini swords. Now, I'm not going to cut out 35 little mini swords, but they're here, front and back. You can cut them out, glue them together, or go buy a big one and copy them under your big one. I like having a big one, man. When I pray, this is going to be in my hand, and that devil comes along with his lies, saying, well, you know, you guys did something wrong, so you lost. I'm going to say, no, we didn't. Do you read that? Have a sword. Be ready to fight him when he lies to you. So you want to pass these out? So you can do what you want with those little swords, and you know what? It'd do you good to make a personal sword of the words God is telling you privately, personally, for you. This one is for this church, for this body. What he has told us, where we stand in that right now and what we're to do with it right now, is on this sword for Burning Bush. So let's take a look at this sword. On the written word, they're written on the written word side of our sword. So God has been telling us to pray. We're going to go through the reviews of 2012 and 2013. But first I'm going to boil it all down to a few things that we need to hold on to right now. God has been telling us to pray in the Spirit, Ephesians 6:18, Ephesians 6:18, while he's looking that up. When we pray with power, things are released. You see, God is a spirit. You can't see him, but if you're born again, he's living in you. God has restricted himself to working through people. Now, there's ways to pray besides your voice. You can pray in dance. You can pray in clapping. You can pray with an instrument. There's many ways you can pray with a click. Whatever the Spirit is wanting to do will release the power of God to do it. Ephesians 6:18.
Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints.
Okay, and he told us to pray in teams. Matthew 18:19.
Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven.
Now, when we agree, two of us agree as touching something. There's times when God tells you what he wants you to pray. Remember, everything in our armor is the releasing of God, not us. So we're praying in the Spirit. So when we get a revelation from the Spirit of what he wants us to pray, it is so real. It is already in your hand because you know God already said he's going to do it. It's like you're already touching it. When two of you say together, he showed me that too. I see that too. Man, I could reach right out and touch it now. It's here. It's so real. Prophetically, Nate has come in with some visions, and his vision would confirm a vision I had. You know, there was this tornado thing. Nate saw it. I saw it. Another boy who doesn't even come here had a dream about it. When the Spirit begins to confirm something, and two or three of you begin to touch it, I saw that too. It's ours. We know this. This is true. That is prayer that's going to happen. Luke 18:1-8.
And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city. And she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?
Well, that belongs under persistent prayer. I wrote it on the wrong line of the sword, I guess. That should be where we pray persistently. So we want to pray in teams. We want to pray persistently. Then it says that we should watch. What does it mean to watch? It means that we need to wake up, be aware, be alert of what's going on in the spirit. What's going on in the physical is very likely to be opposite of what God is really doing, opposite of what you think God ought to be doing, opposite of maybe what you want God to be doing. You have to be seeing in the spirit realm. What is the truth? What's going on? Ephesians 3:10.
To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God.
Okay, by the church we can know what God's up to. We can know what's going on in the heavenly realm. The church, that's given to us. We need to open our eyes. We need to be awake. Ephesians 5:14.
Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light.
While you're looking up Luke 23:46, well, yes. I think, whatever, I can't read mine too good on this one.
I got it.
While you're looking, just a second. God is telling us, stop sleeping. You know, when we wait a long time on a word, we kind of fall asleep. We become complacent. We stop expecting it. We get this someday faith. Someday God's going to do that. Someday, way in the future, God is going to do what he said. In the meantime, I'm going to the movies. In the meantime, I'm going to find a way to amuse myself. I'm going to find out how do I survive while I'm sitting in the meantime. And we get busy and we get distracted and we stop watching in the spirit realm. So when it's time for someday to show up, we have to pray it in. We can't just wait for it to happen. We have to come together and pray it into happening. So it's time to wake up. It's still happening. It's real. We need to always keep our focus that we are getting closer to those things, not live as though we're so far away from them. Okay.
Luke 22:46. And Jesus said unto them, Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation.
So when we're sleeping, and it means our spiritual life goes to sleep, we stop seeing what God's doing. We enter into temptation. We are tempted to find comfort, to find other things, to feel happy where we're at. And that's the temptation. So we cannot fall asleep on the promises God has made. Romans 13:11.
And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed.
When I get to share with you the journals, I have 2 years of journals that I want to review. And I don't know if we'll get to them today because we're not going to hurry. But when I share them, you're going to hear that God has been working a plan here. We've been going through some things. Some people have left. Do you know that was in the plan?
Yep.
I think there were about, 70, 80 people here or in the other building or whatever, a couple years ago, wherever we were. When God said somewhere in that process, he said, most of the people are going to leave. There's going to be a very hard time of trial, testing, feeling like a dark time, hard things. He said a lot of things were going to happen. Then he said, the worship team is going to begin getting up beyond these rafters into the presence of God, and we're going to begin to hear the worshipers singing in the Spirit. They're doing that now. They weren't doing that when God said it. I mean, the spontaneous in the Spirit thing. Now that's happening here. And then he said, when the other ministers here get up beyond those rafters in the presence of God and receive their anointing, then we're going to come together and we're going to begin to pray. The prayers that break down walls, the prayers that open up these new doors, the prayers that bring in all the things God has said he's going to do. It's coming through prayer. You see where we're at in the plan? We are at the door of the prayer time, the season of prayer that brings that season of power. We're right there knocking on that door. That means other doors have to shut so that door can open. I was watching Biggest Loser last week. You know, it's just amazing how you can eat ice cream or cookies while you watch that, you know. You'd think that movie would do me some good, but it doesn't. It just makes me tired. So we're watching that, and they went to the place wherever the Olympic champions train, and they spoke to one of these gold medalists, and he said, here in this training center, I live here. I work out 12 hours a day, 6 days a week, all year long, year round. Where's that kind of dedication come from just to win a gold medal as an athlete? And where is that kind of dedication or anything near it in the church today? In us, how bad do we want God to do something? How much do we want to release what God said he's going to do? Are we just going to sit back and wait? Because he said a season of real prayer is going to birth a season of real power. We have the vision of that little... Now, my husband, he almost got... If I'd had this sword, I might have just lopped his head off. Because the other day, he said, you know that vision, the little praying mantis, that was missed by other generations? They didn't birth. Praying mantis, full of prayer, little pregnant praying mantis. They didn't birth it. And now God has put it in our hand to birth it by prayer. And he dared to say, we might drop it too. I went, we are not going to drop it too. We're going to pray it in because God said, we, Burning Bush Ministries, I put it in your hand. And you are to pray it in. And now is the time.
Amen.
Now we can start begging God. You know, we can't do it in the flesh. It's got to be in the Spirit. You can want it with all your heart 1 minute and not care 10 minutes later. That's our flesh, the enemy of God. That's me. I'm reading these things the other morning, and I'm on fire. I mean, I'm a morning firebomb, you know, and I fizzle out by dinner. But I'm a morning explosion with God. And I'm reading this stuff, and I'm going, that's it. Whether anybody else joins me or not, I'm going up to that church and I'm going to live in there for 40 days. I'm not going to eat. I'm going to fast. I'm just going to throw myself into prayer. I'm just going to say, come and pray through me. Give me 40 days like you did Moses, like you did Jesus in the desert, just to pray. And all I want to pray is that they get on fire and start praying that way too. Man, I'm just all hot for prayer. And I prayed. Man, I had good prayer that morning. I had such good prayer that morning. And then by dinner time, I'm thinking, how come I'm not praying anymore, you know? It's like, don't have anything left in me to say. So there's no reason to fast anymore because I don't have anything left to say now. You know, I'm all done praying. I didn't see fasting when he's wanting to pray. But, and, you know, I'm like, I went and took a bath. And I'm saying, okay, God, is that all you wanted? You know, it's just half a day. Thoughts start coming. Yeah, that's enough. You know, you might as well just go eat some supper and be done. And I thought, no, I'm not going to do that. And it was like I could at least give him 1 day, at least 1 day. And I made 1 day. I made 1 day. I didn't even pray again. I just made 1 day on the fast. I didn't even pray again because I ran out of anything to say. But when the Spirit rose up in me, when he rose up and he was praying, it was awesome. You see, it's not a burden for you to do something. It's an invitation for you to simply offer yourself. Please come and pray through me, Holy Spirit. Please prepare me. Make me a hungry. Make me desperate. Make me want to be a part of this prayer
Amen.
Team. God's going to form a prayer team here. I don't know if we're going to have 150 on it, or 20 on it, or two. But he's going to form a prayer team here that is going to be infiltrated, invaded by the Holy Spirit. And on those seasons when he does that, powerful prayer is going to break out here. All we can do is say, please do it in me. Please prepare me for that. Let me be a part of that. Make me a part of that. Because where I'm at right now, I'm not. I'm not there, but I want to be there. Take me there.
Amen.
Do it in me. I'm surrendering and saying, I can't do it, God, but I'm inviting you to do it
Amen.
In me.
Amen.
I want to be a part of this.
Amen.
I don't want us to miss this.
Amen.
And that's all we can do is invite him, and God never turns down an invitation.
Right.
He never turns down an invitation. I wish he would give me 40 days on fire like that. That would be, whoa. I wish he'd give me 1 week like that. I'd never be the same. This church would never be the same. If we had 1 day, what if we started 1 day, just a little lock-in and just lay on the floor and say, here we are. Empty receptacles, come and pray through
Amen.
Us. We got to start somewhere, but let's volunteer. Let's
Amen.
Volunteer. It's so fun when God comes on you. You know, everything in the world can be wrong, but as soon as the Spirit, that's why Nate said, let's just take a vacation from worries, from problems, from figuring it out, from all the stress. Just turn that off. Enough. Today, I'm on vacation. I'm going to Glory Land.
Amen.
Today, I'm going to live in the heavenly realm
Amen.
And just enjoy Jesus.
There you go.
Now, I know you can't turn off grief. So, if you're not feeling all happy, giggly, yay, oh, I'm having fun with God, that's not maybe where you're going to be. Maybe you're going to get a big cushy pillow and just weep into it and let him hold you in his arms and understand and comfort. You know, wherever you're at with God, whatever you need, that's where he wants to take you. I think I'm swallowing glitter. Oh, man, this prayer thing just excites me because it's what God's been saying to us, and we have not come into it yet, but we're going to. We're about to. We need to believe the things that God has said he's going to do. Luke 1, 37 and 45.
For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Verse 45. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord.
God is going to do what he said he's going to do. It might not look like we thought it was going to look. And it might not even be in the place we thought he would do it in. Harvey and I lived out on the hill out there in Byron Center, way at the top of a hill. I'm telling you, God was on that place, burning bush. One lady came out there driving up and down the road. We didn't even have a sign. And she had a little girl in her car, and the woman said, I'm trying to find that burning bush church, and I don't know where it is. And the little girl said, is it that fire up there? She saw it as a burning fire, and they came up the hill and found us. We saw visions out there. We saw in the day of power, when things are at the maximum power. Do you know some of the stuff that's going to happen on that day? We're going to be made young again. Not everybody, because it's a conditional promise. But some people are going to be made young again, like 20 years old. A miracle, just turning old people young, restoring their youth. And there's a purpose in it. God needs them strong and healthy for some reason. Now, other people are going to come in, and they're probably going to be ready to shoot us with a gun if we don't make them young, but we don't get a choice. It's God's choice. People are going to be healed. Dead are going to be raised. Wonderful healing and awesome things are going to be happening that draws people. Some people in that are going to find Christ and give their life to him, and they'll stay. Most will go away. They may go with their miracle, they may go without their miracle, but most will go away without Christ. But some will find Christ in a real way. But the miracles are going to be happening to an extent. Cars will be lined up, waiting their turn to come inside because there's not room to hold them all at one time. But they'll be hearing it in their radios in their car. And God will be preparing them to come in. Because the presence of God inside that building will be so holy that if they don't prepare, it would kill them. Now, we had that vision out on 92nd Street, but it didn't happen there. We had visions in the last building that didn't happen there. It does not, your vision doesn't have to attach to the building you're in. It attaches to the things God's going to do with this body, even on the face of this earth, not only this body. But for this body, we have things we're holding on to, preparing for. We're going through the opposite. He gives you a promise, and then everything looks like it's impossible. It couldn't happen. There's no way. But you hold on to what God said, and you do not trust in oppression. You do not believe what your eyes see. Let's read 2 Corinthians 4:18.
While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal or temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal.
They're going to happen. These things of God that he says he's going to do, he's going to do. He's going to do it through a people who will release him. Believe him, walk with him, pray what he's doing, and release him himself. It's not us doing it. Let's look at Ephesians 3:14.
For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
We need to pray. Supplication, intercession for one another. God, not just do it in me. Because he's not going to do it in one person. He's going to do it in a body. And the offer is to burning bush. But you can't just pray for yourself. You have to pray for the others in this body. That God gets them ready. That God turns on the lights and opens all of our eyes to this and prepares us and brings the anointing for this. We want to release God himself. Ephesians 3:15-19.
For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God.
There's just so much there. Being filled with all that God is. Agape love, power, strength, wisdom, everything that God is. He wants us filled with all the wisdom, all the fullness, all the love. And we need to pray that into one another. We need to fast and pray over some things. You know, the word says, the disciples went along. Jesus said, go cast out devils. Go heal the sick. Go raise the dead. And they went and they did that. Until one day they ran into somebody that it didn't work on. And they went back to the Lord. And he said, this kind comes not forth but by prayer and fasting. There's some of the things, great things God wants to do that will require us to fast. Now, fasting is abstaining from something. It isn't always food. Usually it's food. But in this case, you remember, we went on a fast not too long ago. We fasted from focusing on anything else but what God wanted to do here.
Amen.
And I saw during those days that people began to get their eyes open. The lights were coming on. They began to see it. And then God said, now end the fast and let them go in freedom. They'll either stay focused on what I'm doing here, or they'll run back to what they'd rather do. Now, distractions came, temptations came. But we're coming in a time that we need to be focused. And we may need to fast some TV, some other inputs, some other worship, so we get the new worship here. We may need to fast whatever it is. Maybe it is food. There's times that we're going to have to come together. And we're individually right now, you need to find out What is it keeping you from the focus of what God wants to do and what he wants on our heart to pray here? You need to do that individually. But there will be times we'll do it corporately. Matthew 17:21.
Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting.
Ephesians 6:15 or 18, I don't know.
Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints.
We need to persevere. Do not give up. We need to come into the kind of prayer that prays until it happens. Pray until it happens. Every time I have that thought, I think of the lady whose baby died in Africa, and she took that dead baby to the missionaries. There was a bunch of preachers together, and she said, I know God is in you. Ask God to give my baby back life. And they passed that baby around the circle for hours, and they all prayed, and they all declared life, and they all called out to God. And then one by one, they left, and they said, it's too late. It's over. And they left until there was only one preacher, and that woman left. And that woman would not give in until she got what she was asking God for. The Holy Spirit was doing that in her.
Right.
Now, there's been people I wanted to prevent from dying, and God told me no. But when the Holy Spirit in her said, I won't let go till I get what I'm asking for, and that baby began to breathe and came back to life.
Amen.
Now, when he puts that kind of faith in you over something, then you pray until it happens. First, we need him to speak to us. And he has. On some issues, he already has. Some he hasn't even told us yet. But some things he has already told us. And on those things, we need to stand. Stand Amen. In what he has said. Ephesians 6:13 and 14. Having done all.
Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand.
Now, what is the all that we had done? We have prayed. We have watched. We have believed. We're ready to release God. We're fasting and praying. We're in prayer, praying what God wants, and we're going to stand in what we believe. We're going to stand and pray till it happens. That's where we're at. Time frame. God's outline. Burning bush. That's where we're at. Now, if you want to look on your other sword, let's just talk about some of the things God has said to us. We have been called to release God in some great and powerful things that have not been done before. And some things that have, but to a greater extent than they've ever been done before. We don't even know what they are, but our preparation has been long and hard, and still is. We are called to be a company of prayer warriors. I don't know how I missed it, but on the other side, my house shall be called a house of prayer. We're supposed to be on there. Because God said his church, his house, is to be called a house of prayer. We are called to be a company of prayer warriors. If two shall agree as touching something, what happens when 20 do and 30 do agree? More power breaks loose. We are called to release a greater level of agape love. We learned that when we were building our faith of love. God wants the unreasonable, extensive, unconditional, extravagant love. That is the power of God. And if we restrict that and will not let that flow through us, we restrict God. He asks us to do the unreasonable as he reaches out to people through us. God said we're going to see miracles like youth renewal, healing, millions of people saved and restored. We are a training center to train in time ministers. And God said the first 500 are coming. I don't know, maybe here's 30 of them. I don't know. But he said first 500. We haven't even got the first 500 trained up. What follows that? When you have a base of 2, you can train 10. When you have a base of 10, you can train 100. When you have a base of 500, who are we going to train? Thousands. Not only training them here, But we're going to send out ministers to start new fires in other places. We've been told that we're going to see burning bush filled with people so caught up in worship that they're waving and they're reaching and they're falling and they're surrendering their lives and saying, train me, send me. Every area, every need filled with a ready, anointed minister, teachers for every age, ministers, worshipers, prayer warriors, every single need and area, even the back rooms. I didn't have room to write every word on your sword. God said he has a warehouse, shelves and shelves and shelves of supplies for what he's doing, for what he's doing. When it's not what he's doing, he doesn't supply for it anymore.
Right.
God had told us there's going to be diseases. There's going to be disasters. And we're going to rescue people. We've seen visions of tornadoes that will enter here through prayer. We've seen good tornadoes of power, and we've seen destructive tornadoes coming. We are to be torchbearers, carrying that fire of God. We are to develop a faith that overcomes doubts. That is a huge one. Because when we get hit by doubt, we throw away everything God said. Well, it didn't happen the way I thought it would, so I just didn't get it right, and I'm never going to speak again. I'm never going to tell you what God said again, because this didn't happen like I thought it would. So I was wrong. Or, at the worst, God must have lied to me, and he didn't keep his word. God can't lie. He's incapable of it.
Right.
If we did miss something, it was definitely on our part.
Right.
And we can miss things. But the reason these things are on the sword is because we did not miss it on these things.
Right.
There are visions. There are prophecies. There is written word. There is confirmation again and again and again on what is written on that sword. This is what God wants to do here. He wants to do it here. And if the devil comes along and he attacks you doing the opposite of what you think, if you throw your faith away, how are you going to stand when we're really under persecution in this world and you're separated from the body and you have to stand alone on what God told you? No one stands with you on it. You're going to be tested on that too. If you can't stand with a little trial, God says, if you can't handle it with the footmen, what are you going to do with the soldiers on horses come out? We're only dealing with footmen devils right now. The footmen size. Maybe they're even midgets at that. But what happens when the big Goliath riding big horses comes after us? This is where we're training. This is the training. I'm going to share with you that we might lose this building within the next couple of months. As it looks right now, short of a miracle, it is gone. We will be starting on Tuesday of this week to go out of business in the store. We've just been overwhelmed with debt, and due to construction, due to weather, due to, those are the human excuses, but really due to the fact that God has done with the store. It was a season. It was an awesome season. It was a hard season. It was a lot of work, a lot of anguish, a lot of problems. But God told us years ago that he was going to start businesses that are really churches, secret churches, done as a business front, because it will win the people that won't come in the church. And it has done that. We have seen salvations. We have people here that have come. Some have gone, some have stayed. But every day, people in there getting prayed for, ministered to, and saved, baptized. I mean, we could go through the last year, through the last two. We've actually 3 years in January. We've been here. It took us several months to get it open. But we have been in this building 3 years. And some of you never really caught the vision for the store. You just thought, oh, well, it's something some of them do, but it's not really part of the church. It is part of the church. It's
exactly.
Definitely ministry part of this church. All of you don't get on the platform with Nate and join the worship team. And you don't know what goes on here on Saturday night. And you don't know what goes on in his home. You don't know the tears and the prayer and pouring his heart into just coming in here one day a week and praying that you come into the presence of God. But that's his ministry. That's his heart. That's his passion. He pours himself into that every day, all day. I know because I'm on the list of 800 texts coming from Nate, too. He's text crazy. And he gets excited. His yeehaw is on my phone all the time. God just showed me something, you know. That's his ministry. If we were to tell Nate, you can't sing anymore and you can't play instrument anymore, that's done. That would be very difficult for him. And there's a few people that have been called to that store. For 3 years, they have poured their life into the day ministry every day. They pray at night. They've given money. They've given time. They've laid down their life. It has been the ministry God anointed them to and put on their heart. When God puts a ministry in your heart, it's like one of your children. It's your baby. You carry it in your spirit. The good, the bad, the ugly, all of it, you know? So it's a very difficult and a very sad time to end anyone's ministry. It's very difficult. We've shed tears here this week for that. But when God closes a door, he opens another. And the store in and of itself is not the church. And God wants to do something different. So if he closes the door, it takes really to go out of business and hope to get rid of all that stuff. Could be 2 to 3 months. It could take that long. And the money you bring going out can keep the lights on so you can see what you're doing. So it could be a while, and God could do a miracle to save this building and change the direction of it. We need to pray about that. Because if he doesn't, then at the end of that, we'll also be giving up the building. So we really need to be in prayer about what he wants to do. By the way, you all are invited first. Be here Tuesday morning, and you can have first choice of the sale beginning. But pray. We need to pray. This is a desperate time, and desperate people pray. So you see, God has brought us into a desperate time so that we're ready and hungry and willing to say, come and do this prayer thing through us, God. I give you my life. Come and do it through me. The church is my baby. I'm in love with God's church. It's his bride. It's his wife. When anybody attacks the church, I have to immediately withdraw and hold my breath to shut up. Because to me, it's just as if you attack someone that I love. Because Christ loves you. He loves you. You are his bride. And when people want to start talking bad about the church in general, it's like, you don't go out publicly and slander your marriage partner. You pray for them. You love them. You fix things. Church is not perfect, but we need to fix it. God says he's coming back for a spotless bride without wrinkle. There's youth renewal. He's coming back for a cleansed, perfect, spotless. I got excited over the question you didn't answer. Washes her with his word. We're going to be washed by the word. Washed by the word. Here it is. The spoken word, the written word. This is what will wash away our sorrows, wash away our doubts, wash away our fears, wash away our distractions and our sin, all of it through the word of God, the written word, and the words he personally gives you. Those are fighting words. That's what you fight with. That's what you lift up that. So let's see, we got one sound in here. I didn't put the batteries in because it's all I could find. I wish it was silver. But every time you move it, it makes noise when you put the batteries in. But the demo said push here. Let's see if we get one sound. Yeah, those are fighting words. Lift up your sword. See it light up. Isn't that awesome?
Yep.
I am going to put the batteries in it when I start beating up Satan with it. Well, I didn't know it happened when you let go, too. I don't know if your light's turned on today. I don't know if that excited you. I don't know if that stirred your spirit, if your spirit's jumping up and down. But you know what? Faith jumps up and down before it sees something happen. That's faith. You get so excited when you see it that you believe it before you can see it.
Right.
And you've got to start saying, look what God's going to do! I thought of Emelina this week. I think we're not going to be able to go through the journals right now. We'll probably do that next week. But I was going through the journals when I met you. when I met her at the hospital, little Emelina, on death's bed with bad kidneys, sitting in that waiting room just waiting on God, what do we say, God, what do we say? What do you want us to say? And he said, tell her I'm going to heal Emelina. Well, God does heal two ways. When we go to heaven, we're perfectly healed. But he also heals here. And living with an old man's one kidney, threatened with cancer every day, is not healing. He's kept her alive, but we haven't seen the full healing yet. We haven't seen it yet. But that day, when this grieving mama was thinking her daughter was going to die, when God said, I'm going to heal her, this lady jumped up and down. She got excited because she believed God. Faith jumps up and down before you see the proof.
Right.
Faith is the evidence of things not seen. And you believe it. And you write it in your sword. And you swing it at the devil when he lies to you. So we're getting ready to do some sword swinging and some serious praying around here. Please pray, God, make me one of the prayer warriors here. I want you guys with us on this. Wish I could share these, but I don't want to rush them either, so we're going to wait. Father, we just ask you to take your words, burn them inside of us, make them jump up and down inside of us, quicken them, renew them, not only these words, but each individual words you've spoken to them for their lives. Bring those words back to life. One word from you, God. One little touch from you, and our whole world changes because our attitude changes. We're not in despair. We're not desperate anymore. We're not giving up anymore. We're fighting because we believe you again. Stir our faith up to believe you and to pray and proclaim and declare what you said you're going to do.
Amen.
Because you are going to do it in the name of Jesus through us at Burning Bush.